right. I did.
See, this is my first time here, and you're weird. Correct. Your assessment is true. I do. Peculiar people is what we are. I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy the family of God. I enjoy worshiping together. And there's a time then there's a time to get serious about the Word of God, and I think we can do that too. And as we open up the Word of God today, I pray regularly that not that the seats would be full. So you don't, that's not right of a pastor. I pray that God meets with us. If God is here, then, and the scripture says where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. So in the name of Christ, we open up the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, we worship His name. The singing was excellent this morning. And it was good to just... I was thinking, man, I wish we could sing that verse again. And he said, let's sing verse 3 again. I'm like, oh, praise the Lord. It saves me from having to do it. I like worshiping together. I like coming in and seeing and getting updates of how your week went. I like opening up the Word of God and seeing what it says to us. And I'm glad you're here. Again, there's a lot of places you could choose to be, and I'm glad you chose to come here. And I pray that the Lord speak to your heart directly today. Our text will be 1 Kings chapter 18, but I do need to go back to 1 Kings chapter 17 just for one verse, in verse 1. In 1 Kings chapter 17, in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, who's Ahab? The king. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, our desire as a called out assembly is to separate ourselves from the philosophies of the world and give ourselves to your word. Lord, may it penetrate our hearts so much so that it changes who we are, what we do, that it changes our very makeup, that our new creature is nothing like our old. God, I pray as we open up your word here today that you'd be honored and glorified. Lord, forgive us of our selfishness and our pride and our arrogancies and our approach to the scripture of the thought that this isn't for me, it's for somebody else. Lord, for a moment, may we get honest with ourselves and honest with you. And Lord, with pure hearts, may we look at your word here today. Lord, I'm thankful for our special guests. Thank you for the people that have come back. Lord, I pray that we would be a blessing and encouragement. God, that you would be here, your Holy Spirit would be here today, that it would testify of the things that are in your word. Lord, you know the needs, you know the burdens, you know the cares, you know the difficulties that are in this room. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet them. As the song was sung this morning, you know just what we need. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Again, that you'd be pleased. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. One message you don't want to give the king. Hey king, for the next, until I say so, at this point, He says, according to my word, he says, until I say so, you're not going to see any moisture. No rain, no snow, no nothing, not even dew on the ground. Well, that's going to make some people upset. That's going to be a tough couple of years as we read, as we're going to see in our text. That's going to be really difficult 3 years. If you look out at our pond, not right now, but after, if you look out over the pond, it used to be just a retention pond. The purpose of the pond out there with the fountain in it was it would take all the runoff from our land and it would just go over there. We had to build a fence so no one put their car into it. Well, they were digging down the depth that they needed, and all of a sudden, water came up. How cool is that? Now we got ourselves a pond. Well, now our pond is starting to dry out. Why? Because it's been a very dry summer. But it still has rained. We live on a well, and our well every year. You see my truck, say, what do you do for, do you like haul water for a part-time job? People ask me that all the time. I'm going to start saying yes. That's what I'm going to start doing. No, our well is bad. So instead of every day putting the tank in and out of the back of my truck, I just leave it there. Because every 2 days, I have to go up to the town of Kendall and get water for our house. Say, oh, that stinks. I'm glad I got a place to go to be able to get water. I'm thankful there's water. I wouldn't want to live 3 years with no water. Again, we've had a dry summer. Remember that? What was it? Oh yeah, July, where it didn't rain like at all, and everything looked like Arizona. Remember that? You can see the pond has dropped down so far, you can see the dividing wall in there. Elijah comes to the king and says, throughout the whole land, there's going to be no rain until I say so. And then just walks right out. No explanation, no more information, nothing. Just, it's not going to rain until I say. I immediately don't like that guy. If I'm the king, I don't like him. Number one, who does he think he is that he can control water or rain? No one can control that. But number two, if it's for real, he's my enemy as a king. We go to 1 Kings chapter 18. And it came to pass in verse 1, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. 3 years, no rain. What's everybody look like? Everybody really thirsty? At our house, we have no way to get, our well goes dry. Say, just dig another well. There is no water where I live. You live by the creek. I understand that, but it misses my house. I don't know what it is. It doesn't go there. Our neighbor also has the same issue, but they don't have the ability to do this. I was talking to them, and they do things that are very difficult. They have completely changed their life because they have no water throughout the dry times. Imagine if there was no water available, not just on my street, but throughout all the land. Everybody's thirsty. Everybody's cranky. And everybody's really afraid because you can't grow crops without water. And after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab. And I will send rain upon the earth. This last time I read this passage again, I was surprised of what was said and what wasn't said. It was almost kind of like the Lord gave Elijah liberty. Because he says, go in, tell him that there's no rain, and it doesn't rain. And then he says, go back to the king and tell him it's going to start raining. But Elijah decides, somewhere along the way, we're going to make this interesting. God does not tell him to call down fire from heaven. God doesn't say, make this elaborate scheme. He just says, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah says, I got an idea. A great idea. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Yeah, no doubt. No water means no food. Now, last time we saw something like this, we saw it in Egypt, but they were ready. The guy walks in, he says, hey, no more rain. No preparation, no time to store things up. We go over to chapter 18 and verse 17. We are about to see an ordinary command become quite an extraordinary thing. And it came to pass, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You know what Ahab just did? He did what we do. When we have trouble in our life, we blame other people. King Ahab looks around and he says, are you the guy that's causing all the trouble? Are you the guy that has brought famine to the land? Are you the guy that has not even allowed dew to drop upon the ground in the morning? Are you that guy? Elijah responds, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. The problem was not with the prophet. The problem was with the king. And so many times in our life when we experience problems, we look around, Brother Sutliff, and say, who can I blame for my... He mistreated me. This circumstance is negative. God brought this. Therefore, and we blame. And that's exactly what King Ahab did. King Ahab was blaming everybody else, but the one person that could fix it, himself. And you know what? We do that a lot of times. We'll blame everybody else. We'll blame our kids. We'll blame our parents. We'll blame the preacher. Hey, if the preaching wasn't so, or if it was better, or if he could just do this, or if the worship, then I would. And the problem is us. We're just like King Ahab. Pastor, are you going to give us trouble again? No, because you're the one that's forsaken the commandment of God. Was Elijah the problem? No. He simply just pointed it out. God brought his judgment upon him. And these are our natural responses. To blame others, to blame the Lord. But if we would humble ourselves for a moment, admit our wrongdoing, then maybe the Lord could work with us a little bit better. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19. Understand that we're going to go through this whole story, and at the end, we're going to try and help draw an applicable application. Is that redundant? Applicable application? We're going to try and make application of this story for us. All right? But you got to get to the end, and it takes a while to get there. All right? So just hold tight. Lunch is being made right now. All right, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19. So what did we see? We saw a famine, and we saw an ordinary command. It's about to get extraordinary. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. Who's talking? Elijah. He's continuing the thought that he started in verse 18, where he says, you're the problem. He says, now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So he's going in and he's telling the king what to do. Isn't that interesting? All right, Ahab, it's not going to rain. And then he walks out. Then he comes back 3 days later and he's like, oh, you're the one that caused trouble. He's like, no, it wasn't me, buddy. It's your sin. Those are some gutsy words to say to the king. Yeah. And he's like, all right, and here's what I want you to do, king. I want you to gather 850 men, 450 of those and 400 of these, and meet me up on Mount Carmel. And the king says, who do you think you are? So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. He says, yes, sir. Right? Isn't that what happens? Yes, I'll do that. Why is that? Because Elijah was such a powerful person? No, because he spoke with one of authority. Because he wasn't just speaking his words, he was speaking the words of the Lord. You can refute man all day. We have two brothers sitting right here, and I'm sure they have disagreements. Differences of preferences, correct? Probably, yes. Just for illustration, we're going to say yes. And this one pleads his case, and this one pleads his case, and then we go back and forth, and all right, well, today we'll choose yours, and then tomorrow we'll choose yours. You both have a valid point. Man versus man. But when we deal with man versus God, there is no refuting. There's no coming back and saying, hey, let me explain some things to you, Lord. I think you missed a thought. I think you didn't see it from my perspective. I think you might have overlooked something. Psalm chapter 135. The king Ahab knew that he wasn't talking to Elijah. He was talking to God. Don't you think that Elijah, throughout the last 3 years, talked to his prophets and said, hey, guys, you think you can make it rain? You think you could somehow bring down some water because this false god comes in and says that he can make it stop raining? Can you guys do anything like that? No. And all of a sudden he comes back and he starts speaking and he realizes he isn't dealing with a man. He's dealing with God himself. Psalm 135, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. As we read the first 7 verses, I want you to pay attention to the authority of God. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all deep places. If he wants it to stop raining for 3 years, it doesn't rain. Say, no, that's scientifically impossible. You don't understand the water cycle. You don't understand God. If he says it's not raining, it's not raining. If he says you all little animals, you're going to run yourself off the cliff and jump into the water, that's what those little lemmings are going to do. If he tells all of these butterflies to fly from upstate New York all the way down to Mexico every single year, that's what the butterflies are going to do that day. And if he says stop raining, it's going to stop raining. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasures. God is in control. So when Elijah is standing there and the king says, well, let's go into a word battle. No, King Ahab knows he's not dealing with Elijah. He's dealing with the God of heaven. And there's no refuting that. Because God is always right. in our lives, there's no refuting that. God is always right. Well, maybe he understands your perspective. Well, he doesn't understand my backstory. He knows your backstory. And he has all authority to do it. It wasn't man versus man. It was man versus God. So Ahab said, go. 850 of you, go meet up on Mount Carmel. Why? Because man said so? No, because God said so. 1 Kings chapter 18. And verse 21. See, Pastor, we're going to be here a couple days. I see where you're at, and I know where the story ends around verse 41. It picks up. It picks up. I think. God bless you. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came. Hey, listen to this. I want you to listen to verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Elijah draws the line in the sand and says, hey, how long are you guys going to try and straddle this thing? Hey, pick a side. If God is really who he says, then get over here. If it's Balaam, get over there. And they say, we don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of young people coming out of college these days that are standing on the line going, I don't know what's real. I was taught something as a young person, but now I've been taught something else that I just don't know. A lot of adults that were raised a certain way and the ways of the world have pulled them away, and they're just standing online going, I have no idea who I am. I don't know what. I'm halted between two opinions. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's foolishness. Make a decision. Love those guys, game time, right? Oh, my team's going to win this year. I know it. They're going to win, and there they are. And they're, but I do understand the other side. Well, who are you picking? I don't know. When the game's over, I knew it. This is exactly how. This is what I thought. You didn't know. We got a bunch of people standing on the line, going, "I don't know. I don't know. I need to see it proven." There's a bunch of people standing on a line between the ways of God and the ways of the world, and they're looking up and saying, can you prove it to me? Elijah has two people, or a bunch of people, not picking a side. Sure, he's got the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, 850 on one side, but there's a lot of people standing on the middle, and he's standing over on this side all by himself, it says. He's like, what are you... Are you over there? And they're like, no. He's like, are you over here? And they're like, no. We don't want to lose. There's a lot of Christians these days that are straddling the line, playing both the world and the things of God, just waiting for it to be proven. Let me help you. You can't serve both. By making a choice to stand on the line you've chosen, why halt ye between two opinions? Make a decision. Are you in or are you out? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. Verse 24, and call ye on the name of the Lord your gods. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Elijah says, all right, here's what we're going to do. He's like, bring me two cattle. He's like, you pick. Which one do you want? Cut it up into pieces, make an altar. I'll take the one that you don't want. And then I'll cut him up and put it on my altar. And you call down fire from heaven, and I'll call fire from heaven. And whatever fire comes down, we'll know that that is God. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I'll send rain upon the earth. Nowhere do I see cutting up cattle and calling down fire from heaven. But Elijah saw the circumstance and says, I'm going to do something here. The nation of Israel needs to see something. So one man decides to prove God. Does Elijah know that the Lord is God? Yes. I don't know where he comes up with the idea of calling down fire from heaven. That's pretty cool if he can do that. I don't see it happening too many times before in Scripture, nor many times after that. But just me thinking, it hasn't rained in 3 years. I'm thinking a little spark is going to set off some serious wildfires. That's what I'm thinking. There would be some fear associated with that. Maybe the prophets of Baal, after their fire doesn't work, and we'll see that, say, well, we really didn't want to do it. We were afraid for your safety. But this was the plan. No prerequisite, no thing ever preceding this of, hey, this is what we do. This is how we prove ourselves. He just said, here's what we're going to do. So Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it, and you dress it first, for ye are many, and call in the name of your gods, and put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. Not wise, right? If you're trying to call fire down on something, you don't want to be standing on that. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Cry aloud. For he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. Miracle smack talk right there. He's sitting off to the side and he's mocking them. He's like, you know what? Gods are busy. Maybe he's out. Maybe he's sleeping. Cry louder. And they cried aloud in verse 28 and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets. So the blood gushed out upon them. The way of the world will cause you harm. Those that serve the devil hurt themselves. It came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. They called all day, started at morning, tried it at noon, and no answer. In the evening, still no answer. I wonder if they got themselves psyched up. You know what? Maybe he was right. Maybe God's busy. We'll try it again at noon. We'll call back. Didn't work at noontime. What? We'll call him for dinner. We'll call him at dinner time, evening. Look at Psalm chapter 5. Hold your hand in 1 Kings 18. Psalm chapter 5. I want to show you this real quick. I hope this is a blessing to you. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the... What does Psalm 5:3 say? My voice shalt thou hear in the when? Morning. All those prophets of Baal, they cried out in the morning and they heard nothing. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Isn't it good to know that in the morning we can talk to him? There's no bad time to talk to the Lord. Look at Psalm 37 and verse 1. Psalm 37 and verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Isn't it good to know that God is still the God at noon? Look over at Psalm 141. Psalm 141 and verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. The prophets of Baal called out in the morning and heard nothing. Called out at noontime and heard nothing. Tried again in the evening to make a sacrifice and heard nothing. The child of God could call out in the early morning and we're told that he hears us. That he makes his righteousness and judgments known at noonday. And that he is pleased with the evening sacrifice. God is acceptable, is accessible at all times. There's not a time of the day, not a circumstance, not a storm, not a weather, not a situation where God cannot be reached. First Kings chapter 18. The prophets of Baal have failed. Baal has failed. He did not hear their prayer. You know, when you want to get real about religion and say, we don't use that word religion. You understand what I'm saying? When we want to get real about what is true, God is for real. And sometimes we can chalk up to maybe circumstances, coincidences. But here it was proven. God's for real. And when you lay it all out, as we said last Sunday night, God wins. Every single time. Verse 30. And Elijah said unto the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the 12 stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. So he builds this wooden altar, or this stone altar, and he digs a trench around it. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Mr. Seatman, you burn wood, is that correct? Yeah. You camp also? I don't camp. Thank you. Because it rains when you camp. That's what happens.
Yes, sir.
That's part of camping. You say, no, that was great. No, that's not great. It's not great. Because wet wood doesn't burn.
Amen.
You say, oh, I see what he was doing here. He was putting water on the altar there Because to light wet wood, yeah, that was part of it. What do you think a barrel of water was going for that day? It hasn't rained for 3 years, and he's bringing, I don't know where he's getting it from, but he said, go get 4 barrels of water and dump it out. What do you think the people did? He's like, do it again. Do it again. 12 barrels full of water in front of people that haven't seen it rain in 3 years. There was no value to that water. It was beyond value. It was a sacrifice. When he said, go get the barrel of water, I wonder what the people thought. What? And here come the boys carrying the barrels of water. 4 of them. And they dump it out, and the people, ladies, children asking, Mommy, why is he doing that? I'm so thirsty. Why is he wasting that water? And they says, go do it again. Do it a third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Maybe he would have just announced it that day. Ladies and gentlemen, we have gathered together. Prophet of Baal, make it rain. And they said, we cannot. Go ahead, call down rain. Why haven't you made it rain? And he stands there and he says, all right, God, make it rain. Maybe that was his initial plan. And when he gathered everybody together, he's standing on this side. The prophets of Baal are over there, and the nation of Israel is in the middle. And he says, wait a second, whose side are you on? And they're like, I don't know. We don't know where we're at. And he says, okay, we need to change this up. Change a plan. Because we're not only going to make it rain, we're going to prove who's God. And he went through this elaborate setup, and he went through all of this stuff, and he mocked, and he belittled the God of Balaam. And in verse 35, and the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. It wasn't just to make it rain that day. It was to let everybody know who's in charge. That I am thy servant. And that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their back again. Hast turned their heart back again. And then verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Such a flash of fire came down that it consumed it all. A few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, when Roy was here, probably July, we had a men's gun shoot thing. That was fun. And there's a 2-part chemical compound that if you mix together and then shoot, it explodes. That was really fun. And we had this giant mound of soil that we couldn't even get shovels into. We ended up doing that and put a hole in the middle and put this 2-part compound in. and then shot it, and it exploded. It's called tannerite. Anybody ever see tannerite? Really cool. It was leveled. It was gone. But it was all around. I mean, we found fragments of things. Imagine this, where the fire comes down and just completely consumes. How hot does that fire have to be to consume wood, but rock? That's hot. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "Lord, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape." And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishron and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." I love how the Lord uses our weakest point to bring about a victory. Say, where was that? The thing that they long for most of all, the water. And He uses that in the miracle. Do you understand? He has difficulties in your life that He wants to use for a miracle. That He wants to take an ordinary thing and make it extraordinary in the eyes of the people. That when they walk away, they say, "That's the Lord. That is the Lord God. He is God." Galatians chapter 1. How have you heard that story before, right? We've all heard that. Maybe you've even taught it. But just for a second, I want you to look at it one more time. Galatians 1:24, "And they glorified God in me." Elijah was just a man. And at the end of his dealings with somebody, they glorified God. How did Elijah get him there? How did they glorify God in me? Faith. Elijah used faith. So I didn't see that word written anywhere in 1 Kings chapter 18. By walking in, telling what God had said, that required faith. By following. I like in chapter 18 and verse, "If the Lord be God, follow Him." Because that's what Elijah did. God led Elijah. And Elijah followed by faith. He even says, "I've said everything that you've told me to say." Faith. Calling fire down from heaven was going to require some faith. Anthony, if you go outside and we all gather around in the backwoods here and say, "Okay, Anthony, do it." God called down fire from heaven. Nothing. I don't think Anthony can do it. No offense. But what is it that the Lord has told you to do? What has the Lord told you to command? What has the Lord told you to say that requires faith? It took some guts to walk into the king and say, "It's not raining for..." It wasn't like it didn't rain for 3 years and he's like, "I knew it. I said it to my servant." No, he walked into the king's house and made the announcement. Faith. He followed the Lord by faith. He called down fire from heaven by faith. One man's faith brought a nation to glorify God. And they glorified God in me. What are you doing? Say, I don't do stuff like Elijah. Neither do I. Hey, let's just be real honest. none of us will probably ever see, outside of lightning, fire coming down from heaven. But we can have the same results by taking our steps of faith. By God leading and guiding us and telling us what to say, for us being outspoken for the things of God, for us being a faithful follower of God, for us doing what He says, not just saying what He says, but doing it, by one person's faith, we can cause others to glorify God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify the Father which is in heaven. By you being faithful and taking steps of faith, no matter the circumstance, even in a 3-year drought, people were glorifying the Lord. So, what can we take away from all of this? Well, we can understand that maybe God is going to use our difficulties and difficult circumstances to cause a miracle. We can also understand that we need to be outspoken for the things of God, that we need to be a faithful follower of the Lord. Hey, if you're here today and you're still playing the blame game about your sin, and there's not a time or place that you've ever asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, if you're blaming everybody else of all the troubles that are in your life, and you're like King Ahab and say, oh, here comes the guy that caused me all the trouble. Oh, God, you've given me a difficult life. Oh, God, you've hurt me, and I'm mad at you, God. If that's where you're still at this morning, hey, get over it. There's no refuting the Lord. His ways are right and perfect. Stop playing the blame game and get right with God. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is well worth serving. He's able to forgive you of all your sins. And then, Christian, is God getting glory from your life because of your faith? You say, well, I walk around work carrying my Bible and everyone knows I go to church and eat at Chick-fil-A. They must know. They must know. I mean, I got waffle fries all over me. Come on. How do you not know? How is that not bringing people? How is God not getting glorified by that? Are you doing what He said? Are you saying what He said? Are you following like you should? Let's all stand. Three years it didn't rain, and God used water and the miracle. Understand that He may use your dry spell for a miracle. Nobody looking around, no one, everyone's head bowed, eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, could you just lift your hand up and let me know so I could pray for you? I do not know. I don't know. Not sure. All right. Second question. Pastor, could you pray for me? I'm a little concerned. I'm not sure that my faith is bringing glory to God. Would you pray for me? I like that. All right. Whoever's on the piano, could you come up? As the piano's playing, and if you just raise your hand, why don't you come on up? Why don't you come on out? Why don't you step out of your seat and say, I need to talk to the Lord about some things. I'm not sure if that's what my life ought to do, bring glory to God through faith. I don't think I'm doing that. Say, then if I go forward now, people are going to... Hey, how about we stop worrying about what people think and worry about what God thinks about us?